MZTV.
Hi everybody, this is Martin Zender at the edge of the bottom of the Floridan Peninsula. I haven't come to you lately with my back against a wall, but here I am, back against a wall. I do it for you. It doesn't bother me. I live with my back against a wall, so I am perfectly comfortable and happy. The question is, when will I see my dead loved ones? This is your question. This is my question. We all have dead loved ones. My parents are both dead. Two members of the body of Christ that I fellowshipped with are dead. Death sucks. It's an enemy. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. Death will never be glorified on my watch, but I do have some good news for you about death, and that is that it's no problem to Christ, no problem to God. We saw how easy it was for Jesus Christ to raise people from the dead. Lazarus, come forth. Lazarus, come forth. Three words, and the guy woke up and walked out of the tomb. That's impressive. When our Lord raised from the dead, many in Israel came out of their tombs and walked around, and they knocked on the doors of their loved ones and blew their minds. Resurrection is easy. Even Paul, remember in Acts, he's teaching until midnight. Some people were in, they were in a like a room, and there was an upper part of the room, and they were up in the rafters, and Paul went on and on, and the guy just fell asleep. And Paul laid on top of the guy, raised him from the dead. I would have been insulted. Like, you fell asleep during my talk? I'm sorry, you're staying dead. Not Paul, no. So this just shows you that it's not only our Lord, or only Christ, or God and Christ, that can raise from the dead. If they give somebody the power, then yes, you can raise someone from the dead. If God gives you the power, it's not time for us to have that power yet. But I'm comforting you now by telling you that resurrection is no problem. It's all a timing thing. I live very near a cemetery. Sometimes I broadcast from the cemetery, and nobody's moving. It's a very quiet place, very still, because nobody's raising from the dead yet. It's a timing thing. That's all. It's the only thing stopping it. So all of your loved ones will be raised from the dead. Now, it does make a difference whether they were members of the body of Christ. Now, my dad, see, I'm not sure. I preached the sermon of my life right before he died and on his deathbed. And because he was always hesitant about the things of God, but he might be in the body of Christ. Now, my mom died a diehard Catholic, so I'm here, sitting here today. I got skin in the game. My mother died an unbeliever. So let me tell you when the dead are going to be raised, when your loved ones are going to be raised. If they were members of the body of Christ, they will be raised at the snatching away of the body of Christ, described beautifully and accurately and really simply by the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, I think verses 13 through 17. If they're in the body of Christ, they will rise first when it's time. It's all timing. Remember that. When it's time for the body of Christ to be completed, when the last member of the body of Christ comes in, and it's time to take the body of Christ to its celestial home, the dead in Christ will rise first. So your loved ones, they actually have an advantage over you. For one thing, they're not experiencing this wicked eon anymore. Their labors are over. They don't know anything. The dead are dead. In case there are any new people watching, the dead are not alive. Okay? The dead are not alive. It's just like they're asleep. There's no passage of time in death, no pain, no heat, no cold, no worry. They're not looking down on you, disappointed in you. No, none of that. So that's good news. So if your loved one died in the body of Christ, you will see them soon. You'll see them soon. Now, another possibility is your loved one died, and perhaps your loved one had a softness for the Israel gospel. Well, there's a former resurrection, which happens after the resurrection of the body of Christ. It happens after the tribulation. Now, the body of Christ, special group, will not go through the tribulation. We will not go through the tribulation because we're not appointed to indignation. Israel will, and proselytes of Israel will. I made a message for you a little while ago telling you how God had lowered the bar in accepting many more people who gravitated toward the Israelite message. And I think there are many of those people, okay? Not everybody agrees with me on that. If you can believe it, some people don't agree with me. It's just shocking, and yet it's true. That resurrection happens after the tribulation. Some people, and I want to give you some comforting information about your loved ones possibly going through the tribulation. I'm going to tell you about that before this show is over. In fact, I'm going to do it right now. All right. When we're snatched away, we're going to be made immortal. That means we won't be able to die again. We're going to be in heaven with Jesus Christ in a fantastic place that we can't even imagine now. That only the Apostle Paul saw it. I mean, Jesus saw it. He lives there. But the Apostle Paul was taken to the third heaven. This is the third heaven in time, not the third heaven in space. He went and he saw glorious things that was not permitted for him to speak on, which always ticked me off because I wish he had been able to speak on it, because then we could have more of an indication of where we're going. But no, it's a complete walk of faith. So there's going to be a bunch of human beings for the first time. There will be human beings in the celestial realm. I don't know how many members of the body of Christ there are. As I always say, I think there are very few alive today. But the dead in Christ, there's many, many more who had died in Christ over the last 2,000 years. So it's going to be a bunch of people. Now, this is just me now. I got no scripture for this. But there are some indications. I think that when we're in heaven and the tribulation begins in earnest, that we will... Why not? Why wouldn't we come down, be able to come down? I've always told you that. Because Jesus Christ, when he was taken to heaven after his death, he came back to the earth when he felt like it. Walked with two guys on the road to Emmaus, appeared to his disciples. He's walking all over the place. He can take a form, whatever he wants. He can take any form he wants. He can look like whoever he wants. That's an indication that when we're in Christed, when we're perfected and we're made immortal, why couldn't we come down and assist our loved ones, help them through the tribulation? Because the way I look at it, all bets are off as far as any protocol, as far as anything God has done before, because you have two unique, completely unique situations. You have the worst time on earth that's ever been, the worst period on earth for the last 3.5 years of the 7-year tribulation. It's going to be worse than anything the earth has ever experienced. Bookmark that. Now you have possibly hundreds of thousands of people, human beings, that were mortal, that died. Some of them didn't, those who remained alive when the Lord came. They're in heaven now. And so, because these are such unique situations, I don't see what's stopping it. What's stopping us coming down here like Jesus did and helping people out? All right, now, what about your loved ones who died unbelievers? I got skin in this game. Talking about my mom, died an unbeliever. Well, Revelation says the dead do not rise until the 1,000 years are finished. The dead do not live, yes. That's a very good verse. The dead do not live until the 1,000 years are finished. Then that just proves that the dead aren't alive. The dead do not live. Very helpful phrase. In case you don't know what dead people do or what they are, they don't do anything and they are dead. They do not live. Dead people do not live. It's just like a double dose of reality. I know it's sad. I miss my loved ones, of course. But we suffer down here. We just get through. Get through knowing that you will see them again, even better than that. It's not just you see them again before they go off to eternal torment. That's what most Christians believe, that somehow they're going to be looking upon their relative. They're going to have the mind of Christ. This is what Christians believe. They're going to have the mind of Christ. And they're going to look, they're going to know that their brothers, their sisters, their mother, their father, their children are in hell being tormented. And they have no problem with it. Well, it's just the way it is. Too bad they weren't smart enough to believe in Jesus. These people are brainwashed, they're in a cult, and it's a sickness. It's a sickness. They will be adjusted. These people aren't believers. Christians are not believers, and they will have to go through the tribulation. They'll get their socks knocked off during the tribulation. Some of them will come to their senses and say, wow, I could have had a B8. Others will just be so pissed off that they'll just flip God the bird, and they're just going to die unbelievers. But there's a great resurrection. The dead do not live until 1,000 years are finished. What happens then, Martin? Great question. When 1,000 years are finished, we have this thing called the Great White Throne Judgment. At the Great White Throne Judgment, read it in Revelation chapter 20, the dead, the small and the great, rise. The dead, all the dead. All the dead who have not been raised at the snatching away and who have not been raised at the former resurrection when Christ returns to earth for Israel. Those are the next two great resurrections. Okay, remember that. Jesus Christ already resurrected, already immortal. Next big resurrection, the body of Christ. The dead in Christ rise first. Thereupon we who remain to the coming of the Lord will be snatched away together with them in the air. Second great resurrection. The third great resurrection is the resurrection of the worthies in Israel and the proselytes. They will rise at the end of the 1,000 years to begin the millennial kingdom on earth. The rest of the dead will rise at the great white throne. That's going to be a ton of people, lots of people. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that since we are in Christed, since we have the mind of Christ, we will be part of that judgment. They will be judged at the great white throne. Everybody lines up to be judged. Yes, and the judgment, remember, it's a great white throne. It's not black. It's not any kind of gray hue or anything. It's white. It's glorious and it's righteous. And there will be a book of life consulted. And the people will be judged according to their acts, not according to their faith. Why? Because none of them had faith. They died unbelievers. Stay with me here. This makes perfect sense. So they died unbelievers. You're not going to judge them according to their faith because it's self-evident they didn't have it. They're judged according to their acts. Now, you're nice people and your loved ones were nice people. Any relatives of Hitler or Mussolini or Jeffrey Dahmer or Charles Manson here? If so, I'm going to deal with you in a second. But those of us who had lovely parents, lovely children, lovely friends, they died, their names will be written in the book of life. And we will be there to see them through. We will process them through at that time. We will be part of the judgment, if not executing the judgment itself. What happens to those whose names are written in the book of life? They are transferred to the new earth. There will be populations and people on the new earth. This earth will be destroyed at the interval between the millennial kingdom and the new heavens and the new earth. This earth will be destroyed. Because the scripture says that at the great white throne, heaven and earth have fled. Yes. And Peter says in 2 Peter that this earth is stored with fire and it's going to be blown up with a booming noise. That is the understatement of the year. Boom. Yeah, this earth is going to blow up. Bye-bye. Good riddance. Although it's hell of a training ground. We're going to be thankful for this earth. This is boot camp, man. We're going to be so thankful, but it's like, okay, bye-bye. You've done your deed. Now get the hell out of here. Forever. So those whose names are written in the book of life, there's no other place for them except the new earth. And the new earth is going to be, this is what God is working for. This will be the dawn of eon number 5. This is when God himself dwells with humanity. There's a new Jerusalem descends from heaven. This isn't heaven. The new earth is not heaven. Because the new Jerusalem descends from heaven and settles lightly upon the new earth. It's going to sound something like this. And lots of people are going to be there, and they're going to be great. It's going to be great. Those whose names are not written in the book of life, they go to the lake of fire, which is the second death. These are really, really bad people. It's not their fault they were bad, no, because God makes vessels of honor and dishonor. The sad fact is, they're not appointed to live during the fifth eon. So they go to the lake of fire, which is the second death, Revelation 20:14. It's more death. You know what the first death is? Okay, good. The second death is more of it. No consciousness, no passage of time, no nothing. They will be raised at what's known as the consummation, when death is abolished. 1 Corinthians 15:26. Christians don't know this. They actually don't know that death is going to be abolished. The number one enemy of the universe, death, it's going to be abolished. You know what they think? They think death's eternal. Oh my God. That is the sickest belief you can have. Death is eternal. Death, this enemy that takes our loved ones away, it's going to be forever. Or worse, you're going to be tormented forever. You're going to be tortured by God and Christ, who's going to be overseeing the torments. I say these people are in a sicko cult. It's not true. Scripture, it's not true. You can't find it in Scripture. You can't find it in a properly translated Scripture. I promise you that. Because if it wasn't, if the truth of the salvation of all was not in Scripture, I myself, Martin Zender, could not believe it. But here's the question. So, Martin, you're telling me that my loved one who died not believing, they're not going to raise until the 1,000 years are finished. But you're telling me that I'm going to be raised before the 1,000 years begins. So you're telling me that I have to wait 1,000 years to see my dead mother? Yes, but I will tell you something right now about that. And before that causes you any consternation, let me tell you that it is going to be the most joyous time of anticipation. You know how you went to when you were in school and you couldn't wait for Friday? And Friday was great, but Sunday afternoon was terrible because Sunday afternoon you knew you were going back to school on Monday, but Friday afternoon, oh, that the anticipation that the weekend was ahead of you was glorious. Yeah, listen to this now, folks. We're going to have the mind of Christ, and with the mind of Christ, we're going to know, since we're basking in it, right? We're in the celestial realms. We're just glorying in it. It's going to be far beyond what we ever could have imagined. It's just going to be so crazy. And we know what the new earth is going to be. We're looking at the blueprints. God brings us in to headquarters. We're going into the main office. And he's showing us the blueprints for the new earth. And we're going, oh my God, the new, oh, this is what he's been working toward. You see, Eon 5, that's the gem. That's what all these eons have been going toward. The fourth eon, it's going to be an improvement on this one. Fifth eon, ho-ho. Pièce de résistance. Eon numero cinco. Five, cinco. It's going to be great. And we're going to know about it. So we're going to know that when our loved ones raised from the dead, oh my God. So just, we'll have 1,000 years to relish in it, to anticipate it. And the time's going to go quick. Time's not going to pass like it does now. It's not going to be a pain. It's not going to be a drag. We're not going to be looking at our watches. When are they coming back? When are they coming back? No. Remember, Jesus has not seen his disciples in 2,000 years. 2,000 years. You think he's up there fretting? You think he's up there smoking, wondering when he's going to finally see Peter, James, John, and the other nine? No, he's not. He's not worried about it at all. Neither will we. We're not going to be sitting there fretting about our loved ones. It'll be pure, joyous anticipation. You know how when you buy a new house, I wouldn't know about this, but I've heard stories. People buy a new house and you have friends coming over and you make everything nice and you get it all set up and you just can't wait for them to get there. And the anticipation is delicious, isn't it? It's delicious. So our anticipation of our loved ones coming out of the grave at the great white throne, for one thing, like they're going to see our house and they're going to see what has become of us. Some of these people who have died, they in this life, they thought you were nuts. They thought you were a loser. They thought you were a snoozer. They thought you were way off. Well, how do you like me now? It's the old Joseph thing, like I've been telling you. So we're going to get things spruced up for them. We'll be spruced up like you will not believe, and we can't wait for them to come and see us. Just like Joseph, anticipating his brothers coming to Egypt. Wait till they get a load of this. Wait until they get a load of this.